Welcome to the Helix Show today. Today we have a very special topic. I know this topic for some of you are you're dealing with it, and that's cancer. We're going to be talking about cancer, and we're going to talk all about what you need to know if you're diagnosed, how you need to advocate for yourself, what are some of the options that you have available. And we're also going to be talking some of the emotional challenges that people have, the not just the physical, the emotional, the mental challenges that people go through when you have a diagnosis. So I'm looking forward to this show. This show is a very important show because cancer is growing like a cancer in this country and around this world. And quite frankly, we've had a lot of people on this show that have given solutions, whether it be a lifestyle solution, whether it be a dietary solution or a mental emotional solution to be able to let go, help you let go of your of these cancers in your body, heal them completely, cure them completely. Yeah, I probably, you know, I'm thinking that some of you are going, well, can you really heal it completely? Well, of course you can. You can heal anything completely. So you just have to get on the quest. And, you know, it is a quest to heal. If you get one diagnosis, you know, make sure you get a second opinion. If you have something that's not working, make sure you switch up and find what needs to work. Find the people that have actually healed themselves so that you can model what they do. That's what this show is about. That's what I talk to you about. That's why we do this show. There are solutions, but you know, sometimes we have to, what I would say, feel the pain to make the change, right? We have to let go the way we think, the way we act, what we put in our bodies, what, you know, how much we exercise or not. There's a lot of things that go into this. So listen, I'm not a doctor, okay? But I've had a lot of doctors on this show. And if you want to know how to heal just about anything, go back into our archives and we'll be able to help you with that. But today we're focused on cancer. And I've got a very special guest. He's going to be with me in just a moment. As soon as we take a break, I'll be right back. Well, welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Ken D. Foster, and I have my very special guest, Bill C. Potts. Remember the C. Hey, Bill, welcome to the show. It's good to have you.
Ken D. Foster, it's great to be on your show.
Very good. Wow. Okay. You are a five-time cancer survivor, and of course, you've recently launched a compelling guide, Up for the Fight, How to Advocate for Yourself as You Battle Cancer, from a five-time survivor. Five-time survivor. My goodness. Well, you know, I want to reframe that. A five-time thriver. You're thriving, brother. Yeah. Yeah. That's great. So let's jump right into your story. You know, what motivated you to, I guess, get cancer? No, I wouldn't say that. What happened? Let's talk about that. Let's talk about your story.
Yeah, it's so interesting because the writing the book was not my idea. So in 2020, September 17th of 2020, I was having surgery at the Mayo Clinic in Jacksonville, Florida, to remove a painful tumor from below my right hip. And I woke up in the recovery room at Mayo after the surgery, and I was having an emotional breakdown. Not like a few tears coming out of my eyes. I mean, a full-fledged breakdown. And the nurse, Jen, reaches over and she grabs my hand and she says, "What's wrong?" I said, "Jen, this is my fifth time, having to fight cancer. In addition to the fact that just a couple months ago, I was diagnosed with number 6, which was prostate cancer. This is the fourth time I've had lymphoma. I had started off with thyroid cancer in 2002 and had my thyroid removed. I've been lit up with radiation treatment, the same radiation that came out of Chernobyl, iodine-131. So I've been blasted with that. A lymphoma shows up as stage three in 2008. It came back again in 2014, came back again in 2019, came back again in 2020. And my version of lymphoma, there's 61 different versions, is incurable. And so I said, Jen, I'm not up for the fight anymore. I said, I'm done. I said, I've got three great kids, a great wife. I've had a great career. You know, I know what's coming with this cancer treatment, and I'm not up for it. I'm throwing in the towel. I'm finished. And so she smartly called the pastor in. And the pastor had her own reason for being a pastor dealing with cancer patients. And so we were connected pretty closely on that. And we talked for about an hour and a half. And what happened then was a miracle. My wife was literally freaking out because she couldn't be with me and she didn't know what was going on. So for an hour and a half, the pastor and I talked and helped me reconnect with all the reasons why I should fight and why I should not give up, which is to fight for my family, to fight for my friends, to fight for my meaningful work, and to fight to make God proud. And so I decided I was going to fight. And so wrapping up this long conversation with her, my heart had changed. I was 100% into fighting what was coming. It was, by the way, it was a lot worse than I anticipated. But at the end of this, she leans in, goes nose to nose. She goes, Bill, I have one more thing for you. I'm like, what? She goes, I want you to now turn your pain into purpose and write a book to help others. I thought about it. I said, okay. Now, I was coming off of fentanyl and morphine, and I had a lot of reasons to forget that conversation with her, but I didn't, because at the Potts house, a deal's a deal. I made a deal, especially a deal with the pastor. You know, it's pretty clear direction. And so then I reached out to a publisher, and the CEO, one, and the CEO calls me. She goes, Bill, I want to do this book with you. And I'm like, why? And she just lost her best friend to cancer. She goes, there needs to be a book like What to Expect When You're Expecting, but for cancer patients. This is the book that I wish had been written for her. This is the book I want you to write for others. We're going to help you because we know you're about to go through a pretty rough treatment protocol, but we'll help you write this book while you're going through it. And our goal is to get this book out and to change and save the lives of other cancer patients through what you've learned. So this is not a book that's about me, Ken. It's about what I've learned. It truly is the guidebook. I accidentally became one of the world's biggest experts on cancer from the patient perspective. And now I'm fortunate to have the opportunity to share that knowledge with others. And the impact that book has been making, Ken, has been remarkable. It's changed my life because I hear from patients all the time and I coach them and mentor them and I get inspired by their stories and I help them. So Pastor Tanya pivoted and changed the direction of my life.
Wow, that's quite a story. And, you know, I'm just thinking the book could have been called From Pain to Purpose, right? That's excellent. How important is attitude in fighting disease?
It is super important. You talk about it on a lot of your shows, and it makes a big difference. And it makes a big difference in these ways. First of all, my attitude, it can't save me. It can help. I've been around a lot of great people with great attitudes, you know, fighting cancer, better attitudes than mine, and they lost the battle. But it can help because what it does is it surrounds you with positivity. I don't know the science behind it, but I am positive that a positive attitude helps you heal better. It for sure improves the morale and the attitude you get from your care team. I mean, who wants to be around a grumpy patient? Nobody. But if you're positive and you're appreciative and you're thankful and you're a good listener, that positive attitude does impact the care that you get from the treatment team. It also helps you with your friends. They want to be around you more, right? They want to support you more if you're positive.
Well, there is science around it, and we've done shows around it. When one can shift their mindset into a mindset of appreciation, mindset of gratitude. It's hard to be appreciative of gratitude when you got disease, you know, you got cancer going on, and you're feeling pain, and you know, you feel like it's going to be that way forever. But that is the shift that's needed. And that shift helps people to, the science around it is that you increase your frequency, you increase your vibration. And that brings in the life force back in. So there is some science.
Yeah.
Well,
that's good because I also am making sure I do vitamin D therapy. I do grounding. I do red light infrared therapy. I do meditation, deep breathing, hydration, diet, all those things to support, you know, my body as it does its fight. But I think number one really is the attitude of gratitude. And for me, I'm a little bit of a unicorn out there. So I rightfully wake up each day and go, wow, it's another day. It's a bonus day. I'm on bonus time. And I know that. And so every day before my feet hit the floor, I remind myself, I pray, and then I remind myself, you know, be thankful for today because I am in bonus time. I'm in overtime. So and it changes the whole perspective of my life.
I live in a place in the winter called Surprise, Arizona. So I wake up and go, it's a good day to be alive in Surprise. So it's, yeah. I bet you learned so much through this process. But first of all, before I get into that, I want to acknowledge that one of the things you said is you do whatever it takes. Infrared therapies, meditation, affirmations, gratitude. Listen to what the doctor's saying, you know, and that, you know, and find, because it's a quest, right? You're on a quest. And a quest isn't just about healing the physical body. It's about expanding and learning and growing, probably about who you are, who you've become as a result, what you've let go of. You know what, before you come in here, real, I've had a couple of scientists on the show, and they're saying now that somewhere between 80 to 90% of all disease is caused from held on, stuck emotions, right? I don't know if that percentage is right, but it's a high percentage. Okay. You know, what happened for you? What in this process with the emotions and letting go, and where were you with it?
Yeah, I think each time you kind of go through the cycle of grief, you're surprised, you're sad, you're angry, you're all those kind of things. You come to acceptance. But for me, the way I handle the stress, a lot of it is through exercise. That is my relief valve for everything, is to let that go. So obviously I do a lot of exercising, which really has two main benefits. Number one, it is my Valium, in essence. It does calm me down and help ground me. But number two is it really gets me in great physical shape for what's coming. And so an example of that was 2014, going through chemotherapy. I'm alarmed up. The alarm goes off. They stop the treatment because my heart rate was so low. And they page the doctor. This is kind of a 911. They page the doctor. He calls and says, well, what's his heart rate? And they're like, it's 42. They're like, that's his resting heart rate. He's an Ironman. Turn it back on. So it's with 100% certainty that being in great physical condition, going into cancer battle is important. I could wake up tomorrow and I could look down and my cancer could be back. So each day I'm trying to make sure I'm ready for the next fight. And that's made a huge impact on my ability to survive it.
Well, you know, you're an Ironman. I mean, you know, and I'm a triathlete. I've been that done triathletes for decades, and you know, I also got the, you know, through I was on Team USA, and you know, we so you know, we got that comment, but you know, it's interesting because a lot of people think if you're in great physical shape, you're not going to get a cancer. What do you say to that?
Well, it sure helps, right? Obesity is a big leading indicator of cancers. It sure helps, but no, it can't prevent it. In my case, I worked in the Department of Nuclear Medicine when I was in college, and I got lit up pretty good with radiation, and so that was the thyroid cancer was likely environmental. I really couldn't control that back then. Didn't understand how to control it. No. And then I got lit up with that radiation from the thyroid treatment. So there's really nothing that I'm doing that's causing me to have cancer and I'm in great shape. But I for sure encourage people to continue to exercise because it does reduce the risk. Sure.
Yeah. Did you find on your path any way to chelate the radioactive isotopes out of your system or whatever's the residue of that? Is that in that part of the process that you've gone through?
Yeah, back then I really didn't understand it. I was only, 42 years old and I really wasn't doing my homework and I wasn't really advocating for myself. So I missed that window. Yeah. I had so much radiation from the treatment that I was isolated in hospital for a pretty long time and they wouldn't let me out till they actually used a Geiger counter was reduced below acceptable levels to be able to be released. I still couldn't be around my kids for a couple weeks. I wish I'd known some of those ways to get that radiation out of me, but I didn't. It just took time. And then ultimately, most likely, is what caused the lymphoma.
Maybe. All right, listen, I got to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about effectively advocating for yourself if you have any kind of disease. And we're going to talk about that when we get back.
The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Ken D. Foster, and I'm sitting here with Bill C. Potts. Bill has a book out there, and it's more than a book. It's really a guide to help advocate for yourself if you have a cancer or you have a disease. I think it's you got to have advocacy whether you have cancer or any other disease, quite frankly. So I think this is for a large audience. But the book is called Up for the Fight. I take it people get it on Amazon and other places, Bill. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, anywhere books are sold.
Anywhere books are sold. Okay. How can readers effectively advocate for themselves in this world, complex world of cancer treatments, especially?
Yeah, it's anything in the healthcare, particularly in the United States, is really confusing and clunky. And I think it first starts with a mind change. And that mind change is, this is my journey, not my medical care team's. It's my life. So I need to own every step of the medical care journey. And I did that poorly in 2002 when I didn't get a second opinion for my thyroid cancer, had to remove, got lit up by radiation. That was bad. But then when they told me in 2003 that my thyroid cancer was back, it kind of, the bell rung in my head that says, whoa, that doesn't even make any sense because I don't have a thyroid. And it was wrong. So I got a second opinion at MD Anderson in Houston. They're like, oh boy, dude, that's so wrong. And wrong in a lot of ways. It was a for-profit small oncologist that was trying to light me up to heavy up their bank account. And so I decided at that point I was going to own the journey. So in 2008, when my lymphoma was discovered as stage 3, MD Anderson, I'd done my homework. I went to a doctor who saw more lymphoma patients with my particular type of lymphoma than anybody in the world. So I had done my homework, went to the right place, and they prescribed to me a treatment protocol after a week of staging at MD Anderson. And I sat down with them and I told them no. Like, what do you mean? No. I said, I'm not doing that. And they're like, well, why? I said, because I'm going to lose my hair. And I'm in my peak earning years. I'm in sales. I'm in marketing. I'm traveling all over the world. And I need to keep my hair. And if I lose my hair, the conversation becomes about me, not about you. And if you're in sales, you're not talking about them, you're not going to get the sale. And they're like, what? I said, no, it's my journey. You're MD Anderson. Surely you can figure it out. And I almost missed my flight back to Tampa because I was there for hours. And they came back to me and they said, hey, Bill, there's this thing. This is 2008. I said, we're trying this thing. You've probably never heard of it. Nobody had heard of it until 2009. It's immunotherapy. And we're going to put you in a trial. You'll be patient number 23. And I'm like, okay, do I get to keep my hair? They're like, yes. I'm like, okay. What if it doesn't work? Because they had no idea. And they're like, then you'll lose your hair. You're just going to be losing time, you know, on the treatment. I said, let's go for it. So by owning my journey, I was accidentally, you know, one of the early users of immunotherapy and, you know, it saved my life. And so it worked. And so that was the first time I really put my foot down and owned the journey. And so now when I'm at appointments, I am educated. I know the drugs. I know the treatments that are possible. I know side effects. I know the best places, the best doctors. I treat it like a job, which it is. My job is to live because nothing else is going to matter unless I do. So I have that kind of tenacity behind my health journey. And it's not just the cancer.
Well, you know, a lot of you did and do what a lot of people don't do. And that is you questioned authority. Mm-hmm. You questioned the expert that said, you know, I've been doing this forever and this is what we need to do. And that's hard for a lot of people to do. Where'd you find the courage to do that?
Well, you know, I'd been through that bad experience, you know, before in Houston. So I figured I had to do it. And plus I have the confidence, you know, it's my life anyway. So what's there to lose? And it's all in the delivery. And so if you really work with your care team collaboratively, if you appreciate them, if you send them thank you notes, if you get to know them and they get to know you, it changes the dynamics on that conversation. I had done that already. I'd been there for a week. And so the care team knew me. I'd ask them up front, can you get me to live to age 93? Let's set a goal. And they're like, okay, that's the goal. I'm like, then let's do it. And so when I said that I didn't want to do it, I did it with a smile. I did it with concern. I did it with appreciation. And so they took it as a challenge. Not they didn't take it negatively at all. They're like, okay, yeah, we're gonna do that for you because that's what you want and that's what you get. You can't lose your hair, so let's figure it out. And across the board, now I've had to shift my treatment to Mayo Clinic because the pandemic, you know, punched me out of being able to travel to Houston in 2020. But I have no issues, and they appreciate it. I come with my list, and they're like, okay. You know, and there's times I'm teaching them things because I'm learning from other patients too, and they're okay with that.
Yeah, I get it. Well, you know, about 3 years ago, my wife was given a penicillin form of it, and she had an allergic reaction to it, and she started getting a rash, a little bit on her body. Anyway, long story short, she ended up in the hospital with a rash from head to toe, you know, off her body, maybe eighth of an inch, this whole rash. And, you know, I was fortunate because we were traveling at the time. We were at my sister's home. And my sister had been an RN for 30 years. She knew the hospital. She knew the doctors. And so every night I would come home and she would say, well, what did you ask the doctor? I said, well, I'd ask this and this. She said, no, you're not asking the right questions. You need to understand the right questions to ask, and you need to advocate for your wife, and you need to let her know what you'll take and what you won't take based on your own understanding, your values and your goals and, you know, what you want. And it changed everything. So I would go home and I'd prepare every evening what I was going to go. And this is what you were talking about, preparing what I was going to go in to ask, had it all written down. Knew exactly what I was going to ask, knew which doctor I was going to ask what to, anticipated who might be the next doctor that shows up, because they didn't, you know, they're diagnosing this thing as valley fever, as all these exotic diseases. It was none of that. You know, in fact, they didn't know the reason. I found the reason that she had this by fluke. My daughter called me. She said, I saw the picture of Judy. And she said, I have a friend that son had that same look. What did they give her? And I told me, as soon as I did, they went, oh, that little boy took the same drug. She's having an allergic reaction. As soon as we knew that, then I could tell the doctors we're not taking valley fever drugs and all this other stuff that they want to put in, right? Anyway, that's
just take some Benadryl and prednisone, and
you know, they don't know everything. That's the point, and you have to be prepared to know what your journey is. I think that's what I want to say. What do you say to that?
100%. You know, you helped your wife immeasurably with that advice from your daughter, and that is a great story. And you're 100% right.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the key here. Okay. So let's talk this, because you had some time to put together a team around you, a supportive team. So I want to talk to you. I got to take a quick break, but when we come back, I want to talk to you about what is the care team that you put around you, and what did you look for, the qualities, the experience in that care team, and as a result of that, what happened for you? So we'll be right back. Yep. Bill will answer that when we get back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Ken D. Foster. I'll be right back with my guest, Bill C. Potts. And we're talking, of course, about how to advocate for yourself if you have any kind of cancer or disease. I want to talk to you. I want you to know that this show is a show that is created for you, and it's there for you, your family, your friends, those that you love. Your part in this is to be proactive in letting people know about this show and sharing it with them. So if you know a family member that has cancer or somebody that's struggling with that type of issue, I encourage you to share the show with them, share the link. And for you, subscribe to our YouTube channel so you never miss a session with us. All righty. Bill's coming back now. Okay, Bill, you got the book out, Up for the Fight, How to Advocate for Yourself as You Battle Cancer from a 5-time survivor. Team, I think, is this in the book, by the way, talking about how to assemble your care team? Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, it is. It's in the book, and it's one of the biggest decisions, if not the biggest decision that you're going to make. Obviously, you know, with any diagnosis of a major healthcare issue, in particular cancer, you need to get a second opinion. You know, I didn't do that the first time, and that decision may still cost me my life. So I've learned that lesson the hard way. But you know, so in the cancer journey in particular, you got to go for the experts, which means you got to go big or you got to go home. And so in the U.S., that means go to the National Cancer Institute accredited cancer institutes. Cancer.gov is where you can find them, because they're going to see more patients with your particular type of cancer than anybody else. So by nature of the beast, the big places like an MD Anderson, you know, like a Mayo Clinic, like a Dana-Farber, they're all over the place. You got plenty in California, too. That's the natural place to go. And so do that. And so for the cancer piece, lean in to the experts, which is BIC, or NCI accredited. And then you still need to build a team around that. So when you're not there, like for me, at one point I traveled 23 times in 24 months to Houston to MD Anderson. I live 4 hours away from Mayo and Jacksonville. So health issues are going to happen. Side effects are going to happen while you're gone. I've got a dermatologist. I've got a cardiologist. I've got a primary care physician, all on my team, all that are aware of all my issues at all times. So I communicate with all of them through the portal. They're always updated. So if something happens to me tomorrow or when I get back to Tampa, I can call my primary care physician and he'll know. And he'll know what to do. We'll have pre-plans for things. Like, for example, my chance of beating COVID for the first couple of years during and after my treatment, because the treatment killed my immune system and my cancers of the immune system, so I had no immune system, was about 45%. So prearranged with my primary care physician, if I get COVID, I'm going to call you. And when I call you, here's what you need to do. This is what you need to prescribe for me, which is Paxlovid, because that will save my life literally. And I'm going to need it like right then. And so when I finally popped positive for COVID, I called him, and within 4 hours, I was taking that medication, and it truly, it did save my life. So having those plans in advance is pretty important.
Yeah. What about the, you know, okay, so we've got, you know, on your team, you've got the experts, okay? Like you said, the dermatologist, the primary care physician, you've got the cancer specialist. What about the emotional side of that? Do you have somebody on your team that's helped you with the emotional challenges that people go through? You know, you go through. You just do.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, yes. So people get support in a bunch of different ways. I highly advocate for professional support through therapists or social workers or lay leaders. I'm in some groups that we support each other. Those are easy to find on Facebook as well. The emotional and mental part of this is in many cases, you know, harder than the physical part of it. This journey has for sure strengthened my faith. So I've got God on my side at all times. And so I lean in on prayer as well. But it is not just a cancer patient that you need to be aware of going through emotional and mental issues. And by the way, it's like a roller coaster. Like I could wake up tomorrow and be having a bad day. It's just part of the process of being a cancer patient or a human. And but it's the family and friends around you, in particular, family members, close family members, for example, my three kids and my wife. You got to keep an eye on them because they need their help too. And so all of my family has been able to leverage resources, in particular outside resources, to get them help for my journey because it's theirs as well.
Well, you know, I found that the healing of any kind of disease has several levels. And I think you're touching on all of them. You know, there's the mental side of healing, okay? You know, it's like how you're focusing your mind, how you're using your mind, what you're bringing into your mind. There's the emotional side of healing. And that is, you know, are you holding on to old, you know, past anger, resentments, guilt, shame, remorse, anything in the past that you've held on to, man, it's time to let that go. And then there, of course, is the physical side that we've talked about here. You know, you got to have the experts that know how to re-stimulate the life force in the body, you know, to come back and or cut it out if you need to. You know, and then there's also the spiritual side that you're talking about. And, you know, it's interesting because if you like you said in your journey, if you are ignorant of the fact that you needed to get another opinion, okay, it can cost you. If you're ignorant of the fact of the spiritual side of this, that you're not going deeper in your faith, you're not understanding your connection to the universe, to God, to everything, that also is going to stifle your healing. So, I mean, it's not on one level here. It's on multi-levels. And as we take those courses, as we take the quest to heal, it's really important. I'm speaking to my audience. It's really important for us to look at all aspects of why we, you know, ended up in this condition. And again, you know, sure, like Bill said, outside environmental conditions can impact us. You know, what do you have in your environment? Do you have, you know, chemicals in your environment that are, you know, known carcinogenics to go clean your floor? You know, are you eating carcinogenic food? You know, there's a lot of research now. You can't claim ignorance anymore. You can go start reading labels. If you can't understand the whatever the name is, then, you know, then use AI, look it up so that you know what you're putting in your body, right? And again, in your mind, what are you putting in your mind every day? So some of you, I wouldn't want to live in your mind, okay? I know that because of the thought. So I think it's on all levels. And that's, you know, that's a really important piece. What do you say to that?
Yeah, it's the mental piece is interesting. An example of that is MD Anderson was teaching these visualization techniques. I'm like, well, that's pretty advanced, right? Visualize and that they draw it out and you need to visualize this is how it's going to work. And that helps. So there's a lot of tricks I use on the mental piece. On the emotional piece, a lot of it is just it goes with my attitude, but, you know, not sweating the small stuff, you know, remembering what the big picture is, remembering what the goal is. You know, I don't get angry very often and people get amazed by that because things happen. Like, why aren't you angry? I'm like, it's not a big deal. It's not a big thing. It's, you know, I got bigger issues and, you know, my relationship with money has changed dramatically. Obviously, you know, I don't know, you know, when my cancer is going to be back or none of us do, how long we're going to live. And, so, you know, my relationship with money is very different, but mostly it's my relationship with time and my priorities. So if you look at each day, to me, is literally a bonus day. You know, how am I going to spend that time? And now leaning in on loved ones, leaning in on friends and family, becomes pretty important. And one of the things that has changed, and you'll find this with all cancer patients, is that you lose a lot of friends, and then you get friends that lean in that you didn't expect. Once you're diagnosed, a lot of them just disappear, but others lean in, and the lean in part is pretty important. And so, you know, what I've been able to do, and because I was concerned about not being able to do this, if I have a friend, even a guy friend that I love, I tell them and they tell me back, and it's really been magical, and it's changed my relationship in a positive way with so many people. And the things that people have done for me, when I'm going through my treatments and post-treatment recovery, it's been remarkable, and I want to give some of that back as well. But yeah, you hit on every aspect.
Well, you know, if my audience takes away nothing else from this show, I think your bonus day is the key to this. And if you wake up every day and you think this is a bonus day, whether you're ill or not, okay, it doesn't matter. That's powerful. That is powerful because that all of a sudden you're present to life. You're present. You become conscious. You start to realize that, you know, I'm going to not, I, you know, no matter, we know, none of us know exact day and time we're leaving the planet. Well, maybe if you're some kind of a saint, you do, but I know I don't. So every day is an amazing day to step into what you need to step into, to grow, to develop, to evolve, to change, to get closer to your creator. I mean, that's the whole thing. You know, can you share a couple stories in the book around the emotional and mental self-care during the cancer journey, your personal journey there? Before you do, I do have to pay a bill. I'll be right back. But let's do that. We'll go down that path.
Okay. I'll be here.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Ken D. Foster. I am speaking with Bill C. Potts. His book, the new book out there, is Up for the Fight, How to Advocate for Yourself. Wow. I love this book, and you can get it anywhere. Bill, in the book, I know you've written about, you know, the emotional, the mental self-care. Can you give us a story about that? Personalize it for us a little bit.
Yeah. So, when I finally got the attitude of this bonus day, and, it's like the colorblind person putting on those glasses that make you see the colors, and all of a sudden you see life in a whole new, beautiful and vibrant way. That's how I see life. And so part of the way I handle this emotional issue of dealing with an incurable cancer is that, I mean, I'm telling you, Ken, I can look at the clouds and see shapes that I hadn't done since I was 5 years old. You know, I see the butterfly pollinating the flower, and I'm like excited and I'm mesmerized by it. You know, I love to hear the sound of the kids playing, you know, in the neighborhood. Those things give me this, you know, eliminates a lot of the emotional baggage of what I'm really going through. From an emotional side, in the book, you know, I talk about, you know, completing Ironman Texas 3 years after you're going through stage 3 lymphoma treatment and recovery. And that was a big deal for me for a couple of reasons. It forced me to do something extraordinary. And I was trying to prove a point to my three kids who were young at the time that no matter what you do in life, if you put your mind to it, you know, you can make it happen. If you can set up, you can set a big goal, you can achieve it if you work hard. And so when I crossed that finish line at Ironman Texas with, by the way, the MD Anderson team there to see me do that, it changes your perspective, because I'm like, wow, I can do this despite having gone through that. And it gave me confidence that I continue to compete it. And so, you know, setting some big goals and doing big things and trying to be an example for others, to inspire others and give others hope through your journey is a great tool, because now my journey is not about me. It's about others. And that perspective is dramatic. And so I got to beat it, you know, and fight it in a positive way. So others, because I know others are watching now through the book, a lot of others are watching, you know, what I'm going through. And that's been great.
Well, you know, it's amazing because, you know, you're a spiritual man. I'm a spiritual man. I think when people hear your journey, they immediately pray for you too, right? They're like, oh, you know,
that was awesome.
You know, so prayers are coming Bill's way, right? And prayer works. There's actually science around it now that prayer works. Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah. You know, and the other part, you know, one of the science that a group did is they had a bunch of people pray for themselves and others pray for others. And, you know, they compared which was most effective. And of course, when you're praying for yourself, it is effective. But when you're praying for others, it's even more effective. Then they did this thing about pray for to do whatever you want to do, pray for what you want, or pray that God's will be done. Guess which one came out ahead? God's will be done. Interesting. All right, listen, I got to go. Well, we got a minute. I want you to give three practical steps that individuals can take so they're to make their treatment more comfortable. If you can get that in, let's do it. You got about a minute and a half.
Sure. Yeah, on the treatment side, you know, make sure you go with somebody. Things can go off the rails. You know, I've almost died a couple times during treatment, so you need to have somebody with you to keep an eye on you. Yes, you'll be alarmed. Yes, they're going to keep a close eye on you, the care team, but having an extra set of eyes to keep an eye on you and also to get you a blanket or get you something to drink or keep you from falling when you have to go to the bathroom are all important. So you have to have a buddy, number one. That's going to help. So don't do it alone. Please don't do it alone. If you don't have anybody to go with you, ask and they'll find somebody to sit with you. You need somebody to be with you. Number two, don't plan to do anything while you're going through a treatment except go through the treatment. So don't plan to do any work. I dumbly tried to do that once. It didn't turn out very well because you're going to be not thinking so clearly. So focus on healing. Listen to good music. Watch a Netflix show if you can. Rest. Also, make sure that you are comfortable and you have comfortable clothes on and that you clear the slate so that there's no priority that day or the day after in many cases, except to go through.
I love that. I'm going to give you that next one. First question you ask is, have you been able to heal this type of disease? If not, you probably need to find another practitioner that has another doctor. All right. Go ahead. I know you're going to say something. Go ahead.
No, I mean, you know, I got the buy-in from my team as to how long they're going to get me to live. And what better buy-in can you get than that?
That's the buy-in right there, man. Yeah, that's the buy-in. All right, listen, man, Bill, thank you so much for being on the show. I really appreciate your point of view and appreciate it a lot. The book is Up for the Fight, How to Advocate for Yourself as You Battle Cancer from a five-star. Hey, you are a five-star.
From a five. Thank you. You
survivor.
Too.
Five-time star. Five-star time survivor. Anyway, thank you again, man.
Thanks for having me on your show.
Yeah, appreciate it. And thank you, all of you, for listening today in the Helix Show. You know, if you get on the quest here, you can make it a lot easier if you get the information that you need to, no matter what disease you're going through. Get with the experts. Find the ones that have actually gone through the challenge. They're giving you the advice of what you need to know so that you make your life better and better and give yourself hope and understanding and some wisdom along the way. From my heart to yours, until next time, make sure you get on the quest to heal it.